Well, I ask for your prayers. The word of the Lord might have free course and accomplish what he wants to accomplish with it. Appreciate the meeting, the Lord's faithfulness to us. Appreciate those that are the home folks that help make it happen, all the work that goes into it. I know it's a lot of efforts and the hospitality. Appreciate everything that's been done. Have a burden that I'd like to share with you by the help of the Lord. I'd like to begin in the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms. This to me is a moving passage of Scripture because it speaks to my testimony. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. When I look back and I think on my life, I think on my teenage years, I think on the times that I was at crossroads in my life, and I realize, I look at it and I shudder to think how much different my story even to this point in my life could be. I look at where some of my friends and those that I ran with and things that we started getting involved with and all, and I look at where the course that would have taken me, and I say, Lord, thank You for reaching down. Thank You for stopping me. No, I didn't get to the point that many have gotten to, thank the Lord. Lord, thank You for reaching down in Your mercy and Your pity and compassion and pulling me out of the place that I was in. I'm ashamed to say that I was not one of those spiritual young people. I was not one of those that was the strongest of the group. But you know, there were those that were that I looked at and that helped hold me through those years. There would be those that I knew had something solid. And I looked at that and I said, I want that. I want it. I don't feel like I have it. I don't feel like I'm to that point. But I see a stability there. I see something there that they put the Lord first. And in their difficulties and the places that they're facing like I am, there's something that holds them, and they're demonstrating by their life that they're putting the Lord first. You know, I don't know if those individuals ever even realized that I was over on the other side of the room watching. Whenever we'd have a sleepover or something, and they'd pull their Bible out before they lay down to go to bed, and I saw that. Don't know if those kind of things that they did, they ever realized the impact that it had on a young, impressionable man. Trying to make decisions, trying to choose which way I want to go. The world pulling me one way, and yet seeing that this works in people's lives. And so I tag along with what Brother Marty said. I know sometimes I think the young people are the most singled out group, and forgive us for it, but every one of us endured it. The young people, I want to encourage you, be faithful. Be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in our lives to be what the Lord wants us to be. We may not realize the impact or the importance of just steadfast, faithful living and the difference that it can make. I want to consider the thought this morning of our purpose. Went down to South Carolina just the last week or two and took a few days before the meeting and went out to an island. Name slipped my mind now. Went down to an island that has a lighthouse. It's one of the more, remote islands. Locations there, beautiful beach and lighthouse that was built 100 plus years ago. Looked at that and enjoyed the scenery. And you can go up into the lighthouse, believe the only lighthouse in the state that you could actually go up into. Not operating. But there was a time that the lighthouse wasn't put there as a tourist attraction. The lighthouse wasn't built for the purpose that People can come and look at it, but it served a very important purpose. Going and walking up those stairs and going around and around and around and one landing after another, all the way up to 16 stories or whatever it was, 160 plus feet. And there was a sign that said, just remember that the people that kept the lighthouse used to have to carry 5-gallon buckets of oil. I was walking it by myself, but they would have to, day after day, get a bucket of oil and carry it up there and refill the lamp. Refill it so the light could keep burning. You think that ever got to be an old task? An old chore? I do it every day and I go up and I've got to lug these up again and I don't really see the fruit of what I'm doing. The purpose of it. You know how important it is for us to have a purpose in life? For us to know that there's a reason for what I'm doing. There's an impact. I'm not just living as the scripture talks here. The Lord reached down and He lifted me up. And He established my goings. In other words, He gave me a direction and a path to take in life. I don't have to just wander aimlessly and not know what course I'm taking and not really know what I'm doing with my life. But the Lord, He reaches down first. And He lifts us up. And He sets our feet on a solid rock. That's the first and foremost thing for us. Sometimes I can wonder, am I making any difference with my life? Get your feet on the rock. Get your feet established on the rock. I know as young people sometimes, and I've felt it, and Lord, what am I doing with my life? What direction are You wanting me to take in life? Maybe I'm soon to graduate, or I've just graduated and trying to start a job. And these, Lord, I don't clearly see yet. What is the path of my life supposed to look like? But there is one that has a grand design and purpose for every one of our lives. The Lord's able, we're able to see today, this week. It's wise for us to make plans. If the Lord wills. I want to try to establish a trade or a skill or something that I can work with. And I try to the best that I can with the Lord's direction. I need to establish some kind of direction in my life. But at best, we can see just barely around the corner. But the Lord is looking down at me when I'm a 60-year-old man. The Lord's looking far down the path, further than I can ever see. And He has a purpose for me. So be faithful. As the Lord begins to unfold and unravel and reveal and develop that purpose that He has for my life, be faithful in it. Let the Lord establish your feet on a solid rock. That I'm one of those young people, those young men, those young ladies, that I'm solid and I'm steadfast. That I don't waver. I'm not blown back and forth. I'm not one that when the winds and the changes of this world and fashions and interests, I go whatever direction the world goes. That's what the Lord delivers us from. Amen. The Lord reaches down and He sets my feet on a solid rock. He gives me a new song. He changes the whole tenor of my life and my outlook on life. And then He establishes my going. He sets me on a path, sets me on a direction and says, you've got a purpose. I've got a plan that I want to unravel in your life if you'll yield yourself to me. Amen. What are we doing with our life? This isn't just for the young people. What lasting difference are we making in our lives? People feel a need, I believe, to have a purpose in life. So many of them join a cause. They join something that they can feel like I'm part of something bigger than me. Maybe it's save the planet. Maybe it's the cause of save the dolphins. And I'll go out and I'm going to march and I'm going to carry banners and I'm going to demonstrate and save climate control and all that and go picket and march and I'm serving a purpose. I'm serving a greater cause than what I am. I've participated at work in It's a national campaign called the March of Dimes. And it's intended to be able to help with premature births and those kind of things. And it's a cause that I've participated in, I guess, because they've encouraged us to go walk, and we as a company want to sponsor this, and they have marches, or on a Saturday morning they'll go out and your group will go out and walk for a few miles, and in the cause of the March of Dimes. Well, I've gone and done that, seeming harmless enough to go spend a Saturday morning with some co-workers and walk with them. You know, I've wondered as I walk down the road, what good is this really doing? How do we as a group somehow think by me putting on a purple shirt with the name on it and walking down the road and maybe I carry some balloons, what difference am I really making for a premature baby? What impact does it really have? But people want to be able to feel like I'm making a difference. I have some impact. I'm looking beyond. I feel a need in my heart and life. I want to make some difference. I want to make some kind of impact when I leave here. Philanthropists and those that accumulate great amounts of money. Many times they feel a need to sponsor some charity or start some work up that I can feel like I'm making some difference. Yes. I've got a purpose. What are we living for? Do we have a purpose that's greater than myself? Do I have a goal and an aim in life that's greater than just my short-term interest? Greater than what I'm looking at right here and right now? Do I have my sights set on something further and greater than what I'm looking here at here? Jesus said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. Set your affections, and other scripture says, on things above. Not on things of this world. Let's allow our vision to go and transcend just these earthly things. Scripture in Proverbs 29 and 18, I believe, says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Many ways that we could look at that, and a vision of God's will and of an understanding of His requirement and His Word. But Lord, give me a vision of heavenly things. Lord, help me to be able to see beyond. It's so easy for me to just get stuck in a rut in my life. It's easy for me with the cares of life. I lose my focus on something that's greater than this. That's greater than what I'm... And I get so focused on what's right in front of and around me that I lose sight of the fact that, Lord, You have a greater purpose in mind. Lord, help me to set my affections, to set the focus of my life. Yes, I have to tend to these things, but I want everything that I do to be with that greater purpose in mind. The company that I work for realized, as many companies have, that it's important for the employees to feel a sense of purpose. So they started a campaign to try to find some slogan or something catchy that people could rally behind and say, this is what our purpose is. So they came up with a saying. Had to do with, we invent the future of flight and lift people up and bring them home safely. It sounds like a nice little saying. But they began to describe that and say, you know, everything that you do here at work, you don't need to feel like it's just some mundane task. It's not serving any purpose. It's not accomplishing anything. Realize that everything you do is with this purpose in mind. Everything, the smallest detail that you're attending to, it's serving a greater purpose. It's doing something to serve the customer, for the safety of people that are flying on the aircraft. Think of it that way. Because they begin to find that people that don't have a purpose in what they do, it gets hard to get up in the morning. It's just a routine, and I do it over and over and over, and I lose sight of why I even get up. What is it that motivates me to do what I'm doing? I need to be able to see something bigger than, well, I'm filling out this paper, or I'm doing this report, or I'm doing this inspection, I'm working on this project, and I've got blinders and that's all I can see. No, there's a greater purpose. There's a greater plan and purpose in mind that you're serving. So I would encourage us today, with our lives, let's see the greater purpose. In our lives, let's not just get into the rut of life and I'm so used to just going through the motions. And I begin to maybe wonder and my motivation to get up and why do I do what I do? Why is it important to get up and go to service every time? Why is it important to just do the small things that I do in serving the Lord? To make the stands that I make when I'm at work. Those that I'm around, it doesn't seem like it's making any difference. It doesn't seem like it really has any impact. Lord, help us to see, to have a vision, to be able to understand that there's a purpose greater than what I'm looking at right here and right now. Where there is no vision, people perish. Like a ship without a sail. Just going, don't really have any course, don't really have any direction that I'm going. Whatever way the wind blows, but I believe that the Lord has a course for us to take. Amen. David in 1 Samuel 17. Familiar passage to all of us. David was sent down to check on his brothers that were engaged in the fight against the Philistines, and he went up and he was to inquire and see how the battle was going. Eliab, his eldest brother, 28th verse, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why comest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. Thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he began to turn and speak to the others on that manner. There's this giant in the valley. Yes. The Lord sent you forth to battle against those that oppose His name. Have you lost sight of that purpose? Have you lost sight of why you're here? Of why you're here to do what you're doing? Is it just become about yourself? Look under the greater picture here. Look under the greater cause. There are enemies of the Lord that stand in defiance of Him. And David came in and he saw that with the eyes of faith and said, "I'm willing to stand up and take forth the cause. There's a purpose here for us as God's people." Song, No Ground, says we have a cause we're fighting for. Do we have a cause? Do we have a purpose that we're fighting for? I remember came to mind where Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. The city had been devastated, torn down. He had a burden from the Lord to go rebuild the city. And so he set on that cause and he enlisted the help of the people to help him rebuild the walls. And as he was doing that, the enemy was coming against him and they faced opposition and persecution and all those things. He tried to rally them together and said, "Remember, your wife, your wives, your sons, your daughters, your houses. Remember and fight for them. Remember there's a bigger cause here at stake. There's something here at stake. If I let down, if I say it's not worth it, if I say I'm not willing to continue carrying the oil up the stairs, I've done it day after day and I don't see the difference that it's making. You know, we may never see the ships that notice our light and that steer and change course. We may never realize those that were headed down the wrong course."
That's right.
And they saw somebody that was willing to stand up, that was willing to have a testimony and bear the shame, bear the reproach. Say, "Yes, I'm different. Yes, I'm one." And see that light. Jesus told us to let your loins be girt about and your lamps burning.
That's right.
Let your light be burning brightly. How's your lamp today? Do you still see the purpose in getting up and refilling the oil? Do you see the impact that it can have in your life, on others?
Amen.
We've got a cause that we're fighting for. Are we able to see the eternal impact decisions that people are making, when we look on others and our neighbors, our co-workers, and the decisions they're making that are headed them down the broad way, do we have a vision of their soul headed down to damnation? You know what that ought to do? It ought to stir something within us.
Yes.
Lord, there's a cause. There's a purpose here. I want my life to serve some purpose. I want to make some difference in lives. Lord, it may not be as a missionary. It may not be what I would think in my mind makes a real big difference. But Lord, whatever it is that You want my purpose in life to be, Lord, make me what You want me to be.
Yes.
Lord, I don't want a shirt. I don't want to run from it. Nehemiah there in the rebuilding of the walls. It said that he appointed, it seemed like by families, that this family would take this section of the wall. This family would take this section and this one would rebuild this gate. Everyone had a part in the work.
Yes.
There were some that he said that he sent to rebuild their own house. You know, some of us, that's all of us, that's where it starts.
Right.
I've got to rebuild my own house.
Yeah.
I need to have my own house in order, and that's where it starts. For me to be a vessel that's meet for the Master's use, that the Lord can use to be a help to others, to serve the purpose that He intends my life to serve. Lord, help me to have my life in order.
Amen.
Every one of us have a part of the wall. Every one of us have a place and have a part that if I don't fill that, you know, the work of the Lord will suffer because of it. It'll still go forward. If I walk away, if I lose my way, if you lose your way, the church will go on. The work of the Lord will go forward. You know, it'll suffer. There'll be a void that I was supposed to have filled. I look sometimes and I see people that are away from the Lord. I look at some of their traits and their strengths and I think, Lord, what could You have used them for? What they have, their ability to work with people, and Lord, what was Your purpose for their life? You know, the Lord has a purpose for every individual. Saved and unsaved, if You'd only come. If You don't, I can give You purpose in life. You don't have to just wander aimlessly and wonder why am I here. It must just be for today and for the here and now. No, I've got a part of the wall for you to rebuild. I've got a place for you to build up. It'll make a difference. It'll make an eternal difference in people's souls. Are you willing? Got a song that came to mind. The Lord said, stand up, Paul. Dry up your tears. You must preach my gospel for many a year. Go down to Damascus, the street that's called Straight. There you'll find Ananias. And there you must wait. I counted on Adam.
Yes.
I counted on Cain. I counted on Jonah, and he was the same. I counted on Judas, and he proved untrue. So go tell the world, Paul, I'm counting on you.
Yes.
You know, I believe in the place of Paul there, we could put every one of our names.
Right.
I counted on this one. I looked to Adam. I looked to Cain. I looked to Jonah. I looked to Judas. They all forsook me. The disciples, as I was going up to be crucified, every one of them ran and fled. Now I'm counting on you. I'm counting on your life. I'm looking to you to stand in the gap. You know, in our world, in our generation, in the church, the Lord's looking for those that will stand in the gap. The Lord's looking for those that say, I'll be the bridge in my home, in my family, in my congregation. I'll be the one to stand and say, no, devil, you're not getting through this place. I'm rebuilding this part of the wall. It may not seem like very much. It may seem insignificant. But in the place in my post of duty, I'll stand firm and faithful and true. When the doors are open, I'll be, you know what a blessing and how significant it is? Don't minimize the impact of just being faithful to come to service.
Amen.
Being faithful to be there time after time. Don't underestimate the impact that has on others.
Right.
Whenever they say, I've got this to take care of. Hey, why don't we go down and do... No, I'm going to service. Don't underestimate the impact that has. That people see a reed that's not shaken in the wind. They see something stable and say, I want that.
Yes.
You know, I believe there are people that are in our lives that we may be their only hope of salvation. I'm not the one that saves. But it may be that the Lord intends for me to be the one that has the connection that is able to talk to them. That's able to reach them where maybe the ministers, maybe the mission, maybe the teachers, they're not in that sphere of influence.
Right.
I'm counting on you.
Yes.
I'm counting on you to stand in the gap. I'm counting on you to be faithful in your life.
Amen.
What's your purpose in life? Do you have a purpose? Do you have something beyond today and beyond, yes, I have to tend to my job and the responsibilities, but do I have something even far beyond and greater than that that I'm looking to? Just like at my company, they say everything you do, there are some menial tasks that you have to do. There is some paperwork that you have to fill out. There are reports that you have to do that you'd just rather not have to do. But remember that everything you do is serving a greater purpose.
Yes.
None of our efforts in living for the Lord are in vain. None of our efforts or our faithfulness in serving Him falls by the wayside and is in vain. You know what the enemy's trying to do though, as the Lord's counting on us? The enemy's trying to sideline us. The enemy's trying to put us on the sidelines where I'm sitting on the bench, I'm just watching. Folks, this isn't a spectator sport. I don't come, it's not just designed that I come and I sit around the perimeter and I wonder what they're gonna do. There is a cause here. There is a purpose, and it's, Lord, help us to, every one of us, have that vision of the purpose. Lord, there are souls that are hurting. There are souls that are standing at a crossroad today. Lord, can I do anything to reach them? Lord, by coming together and being in tune with Your Spirit, by coming with a testimony, coming with a special song, don't underestimate that either.
Amen.
By coming in whatever little place the Lord gives me to fill, who knows but what it might touch the heart of one that I never think. The one that's maybe not saying a thing and sitting in the back and weighing,
yes,
counting the cost. Be faithful. Don't let the devil sideline you. You ever hear of the Achilles? What is it? Achilles tendon? Achilles heel? The story, don't remember the details of it. It's been a while since I read it. Of an army back in medieval times that they were pursuing after the opposing force. They overtook them, but there was another portion of them that continued to run. So they had a decision to make. Do we tend to this group and take care of them, or do we pursue the ones that are running that are going to continue to give us trouble? So what they did is they took knives and they cut that tendon on all the men that were there. They could do it quick. Just slice the tendon. And what that does, I'm not dead. I'm still living, breathing, but I can't do anything. I'm hindered. I'm handicapped. You know, the Lord's trying to get every one of us, the devil is trying to get every one of us into that place. The devil's trying to come along where the Lord has a purpose for my life. The Lord intends, and He's able to see so much further down the road. There, maybe He's able to see that person, that individual that's at their darkest hour. And I need to prepare you, bring you into a place that whenever your paths cross, you can be in a place that you can help them.
Yes.
But what would it be if I allow the devil to cut the tendon?
Right.
I allow, and all of a sudden when that happens, you know what happens then? Instead of looking at the enemy and facing him and I'm fighting the enemy, it becomes all about me. It becomes all about my problem, and I'm just in survival mode now. Saints, the Lord has more than just survival mode for us.
Amen.
The Lord doesn't want us to just be hobbling through life, just trying to survive from day to day. Thank the Lord. I'm still saved. That's important. Don't give it up.
Amen.
But folks, there's a greater cause than just time after time. And I just hobble along and it's all about me. Start there. Allow the Lord to establish my feet on a solid rock.
Amen.
But then, Lord, give me purpose. Lord, give me a direction in my life. Help me that I first guard myself. Because if the devil, and I see the enemy fighting the ministers, if the enemy can come in and cut the Achilles tendon of a minister that maybe the Lord wanted to have in the place to be able to reach others, the enemy's going to go after what impact that he can make.
Right.
Not just the ministers. How about the parents that are supposed to serve one of the greatest purposes that God ever gave, the raising of our children? What if I allow the devil to hinder that purpose? And I'm not there. I'm not standing in the gap for them. What kind of difference might it make in their lives? Ecclesiastes talks about ointment that stinks. It's not the purpose of ointment. Ointment is supposed to serve the purpose, as Mary that anointed Jesus with the ointment and the aroma filled the air. How would it have been for Mary to come and pull out an ointment that reeked? And take that and Jesus, I'm going to anoint you with it. And all of a sudden that the room filled with an aroma that made everybody leave. But Ecclesiastes says dead flies cause the ointment to stink. You know, the enemy wants to bring and drop dead flies in our ointment.
That's right.
Little things in my life where the Lord intends for it to be pure, wholesome, useful, usable to the Lord.
Yeah.
But now it's stinking.
Yeah.
Now it's got a smell about it that all of a sudden that was valuable is worthless.
Right.
The enemy wants to drop some dead. Do you have some dead flies? Some places that I've allowed something to fester in my life. Maybe there's something that's hindering the Lord from being able to use me. That's hindering me from fulfilling the purpose that He has for my life. I want to encourage us all. Let's be meet for the Master's use. Let's be suitable, prepared, faithful for the Lord to be able to use us. What is our purpose? What's the purpose of salt without savor? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trod underfoot. That's what its purpose is. Lord, what's my purpose? If I'm not saved, if I'm in sin, what purpose am I serving? What is my direction and aim in life? Where, the saying of the world, the man with the most toys wins. What kind of purpose is that? Lord, I want a greater purpose than that. But to those that are saved, what's my purpose if there are dead flies? What good am I able to do to those that are around me? If they look on my life and they see inconsistencies, they look on my life and they see all this that's good, but then they say that stinks. You know what'll happen? That one thing that they see in my life, that they say that's not right, what do you think will happen to everything else that they saw in my life? They lose sight of it. That one dead fly in my life can ruin all the rest. Salt without savor. I've been impressed to see pictures of repurposed items. You ever see that? Someone take an old car that I would think that's good for nothing but scrap metal. And someone with time, with patience, with a vision, this thing could be a beautiful car. This thing could be a classic. And I don't look at what it is, but I look at what it could be. And I set to work on it. And I always keep that vision in mind. I imagine a shiny, red, sleek car that everybody's looking at. Doesn't look like it now. People take things and they go to the junkyard. Whether it's decorations for a house, things that I would have thrown out, no use for me at all. But they're able to look at that and see something that is so creative. See something and make it into something that's useful, that has a purpose, and they call it a repurposed item. You know the Lord wants to repurpose us? If I'm in a place that I'm like the salt without savor, I don't have the taste, I don't have the fire, so what good am I? What purpose am I serving? You know the Lord has a vision for us. Not of what it is, but of what it could be. Not of the condition that it is now, but I have a plan for you. I have something that I want to turn you into. And I'm looking down the road and I know what it's going to take. I know what it's going to take to get you there. The Apostle Paul, in all that he went through as he was called into this ministry, he faced hardship, he faced difficult places. One place he was stoned. And he survived and he went to the next city, Iconium, I believe, and he spent a few days there. But then he said he returned to the city that he was stoned in. And he went for the purpose of encouraging and strengthening the brethren. And it said that he went and he encouraged them that with purpose of heart, they should cleave to the Lord. Oh, don't look at these things and become discouraged. Don't allow the hardships of your life. Take your eyes off of that greater purpose and begin to focus on this. And I lose sight. He said in another place, I would that you not be moved, but realize that I was appointed thereunto. There's a purpose in it.
Amen.
The things which have happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. There's a man with a purpose. There's a man that the Lord took as he was wandering down the road and said, I've got a plan for you, Paul. I'm able to look at you today and the mess that you are. And I'm able to see what I want to send forth and reach those that haven't heard the gospel. I have a purpose for you. I have a plan. And he was able through all the hardships of life. You think our trials are without purpose? You think the difficult places in our lives just happen to be? I wonder if Joseph thought that. The Lord had a purpose, didn't he? The Lord was able to look years down the road. There's going to be famine. There's going to be a place that I need a man that's faithful first, that I can prove, that I can test, that I can try. Whenever he's faced with temptation, he doesn't succumb. If he has to strip out of his shirt and head out the door saying, no, no. He stands and he's faithful in all that I give him.
That's right.
So that whenever the time comes, that I say, now's your time. Now is your purpose. Now is when you rise to the occasion and stand in the gap for your home, for your family, for your nation. All the preparation that went into that. To prepare me for that place. Remember Esther? Esther was, I don't suppose you could say anybody special. She was a Jewish girl, lady. Was called before the king. He wanted her to be the queen. Got down to the point, as you know the story, that Haman had a plot to destroy the Jews. Wipe them out. Take him out. The king didn't realize at that point that Esther was a Jew. Mordecai, Esther's uncle, sent her a message to her and said, if I can put it in my words, Esther, now's your time. Esther, now is the purpose. And he said, who knows but what you were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows but what the entire purpose of your life, all that happened in your life, I don't believe that it's just by chance and circumstance and it just happens and we're a victim of circumstance. But whenever I give myself to the Lord, all things work together to the good of those that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. I've got a purpose for you. I've got a plan for you. And if you'll allow me, if you'll yield yourself into my hand, I'm going to work that purpose together. And I'm going to bring you to the place that, and he told Esther that if you don't, If you don't rise to the occasion, the Lord will bring deliverance from somewhere else. The work will go forward, but realize that you may lose your life and your family's. Yes, the Lord's able to resort to plan B's, but what might it have been? I want to be in the place that when the Lord says, now is your time, that I don't have to look, oh, I've got dead flies, my heel's cut, I can't do it. I'm not in a place that I can help these that are in need. Be faithful. Be faithful in the little things. Be steadfast. Be in the place where the Lord can mold and make us in the image of His purpose. According to the plan, I got to see always wanted to see it. A potter recently. Take the lump of clay that really serves little purpose like that. But he had a vision for it. And I looked at that man that had done this, I think he said 30 plus years. He weighed out the exact portion of clay, threw it on the table, got some water on his hands, began to turn the wheel, and he began to squeeze it. And Evan looking at it said, look, it's growing. And all of a sudden it grew up out of his hand. I thought, where did that come from? He was making a vase or something. And it began, and then I saw it is turning into something. What that clay was, it seemed like it served no purpose as he began to mold and he began to squeeze and put pressure. It conformed and then in just a matter of a little bit of time, that vision that he had in his mind of what I want this to be, he's able to take it off the table and put it on the shelf for future use. The Lord wants to do that with us. The Lord has an idea. He has a vision for me. For my family or my future family, the place that He wants me to live, the people that He wants me to impact, the job that He wants me to have, all the things in my life, give yourself wholly to the Lord. Consecrate your life fully to Him. Lord, work your purpose. Help me not to lose sight of it. Help me not to lose sight when the pressure gets strong. Lord, you've got a purpose in it. You have something that you're trying to prepare me for. Oh Lord, help me not to crumble in your hands. Help me that I not allow the devil to corrupt and pollute the ointment, that I might fulfill the purpose the Lord has. You pray for me. Amen.